All right. Welcome in. Toilets to Titles, episode number 86, week number 2 of the NFL season. It was a crazy week 1, but you know what? I think that's the way it goes every single week 1, but what a strange and bizarre and exciting and fun and emotionally roller coaster riding week we had. With me this evening, my co-host, my main man, my guy, Justin Stevens at JustinFF_Justin. How are we doing this evening?
Excellent. So I subscribe to AMC Plus, so I get the new Walking Dead several days in advance. So I just got to see the Walking Dead that most people are going to be seeing this coming Sunday, so I don't have to miss football to watch it. So pretty jacked about next week's episode, though. They set it up real nice for a good one.
Smart. That's thinking, man. You're thinking a few steps ahead. You get What's that?
It's the only show that my wife and I both really enjoy. So that was really more of her power play.
But still, it kills two birds with one stone.
That's right.
You know, Tuesday. There's not much going on Tuesday. It's a day we have to wait for football. Now you get to fill that day that would normally just be a monotonous waiting day with something exciting that is also knocking off something you'd be doing on a Sunday. I get it. A lot of brains up there. You're really thinking it out. Everybody,
we do got stuff going on Tuesday. It's Toilets to Tuesdays.
Yes, that's it. Toilets to Tuesdays. Tuesdays to Titles. Toilets to Tuesdays. However you want to say it. Go follow Toilets to Titles on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. I am on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. And Nate, who's going to be with us shortly, is at Nate_Dirt19. Justin, you're supposed to have a little something under your name, right? A little tag, because we do a little challenge weekly, where we all pick our games of the week, and whichever one is the score is, I guess, the biggest differential is the loser, and the guy whose score is the closest gets to pick the name that is going to be showcased on our live YouTube stream. And what Nate won this week, all right, what do you remember what his game was last week?
I put it on the doc here. I went ahead and copied and pasted and threw it in first. So Nate's actually, you and Nate both won, and but Nate was the one that, well, I put both of you on there. He was just the only one that commented. You must have been busy.
Well, so, I did my notes before you even threw it on there.
Oh, well, I you know how I roll. I did my notes like 5 minutes ago. So
there you go. So don't throw me under the bus and make it seem like I didn't look through the notes.
No. In the group chat, like 6 hours ago.
I was oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Coach, your game was the Chargers against the Washington football team, differential of 4. Nate was Cleveland against Kansas City, differential of 4. And I had the Jets at Carolina, which was a differential of 5. So you guys beat me by 1 point. We are going to keep track of this on the season as well, just because I'm a nerd and I think that'll be really fun. And so you guys are beating me in the overall season as well. So, with that being said, here is the name that Nate came up with for me for this evening.
Bring back Phil.
That's
a nod to Phil Rivers. So that was probably Justin's, one of his favorite Colts quarterbacks of all time.
No, I can't even act like it was just for the purposes of this show. So
somebody just commented, "Whoa, that guy on the right is really cool." It's just a Facebook user. I can promise you my hands are here. I'm not on Facebook. So if you're talking about me, I appreciate it. If you're talking about Justin, that's cool too, man. We're all cool here. But anyway, let me finish the intro. How you can listen to the show, Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. We're on Podbean. We're on Facebook. We have a page, When a Family Breaks, and the Toilets Titles page that we're going to be combining with the When a Family Breaks. So eventually it'll just be one big page. On that page, we buy, sell, trade sports memorabilia. We're also on Spotify, regardless of how you're listening. First and foremost, we would love it if you were here Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. to be in here live with us and to ask us all your game day, well, not game day questions, but your weekly questions, your start sits, you know, all that good stuff. If you were here, you know, it's definitely going to help the episode. So subscribe to the channel on YouTube, hit the bell so you'll be alerted anytime we go live. Throw some likes on some of our past episodes. All that stuff helps us. If we help you and we're helping you do some good things in the fantasy world, we would appreciate it if you threw us a bone and likes and subscribed. Also, check out toiletstotitles.com. We got articles there every week. We have 2 start sit articles. Alex is doing one. My Dudes and Duds that is in this episode. You'll hear it weekly. I also throw it in article form and put it on there. We got weekly breakdowns on there, like all sorts of good stuff. You definitely want to check that out. So I guess we're going to get going. Let's start in the news. So this past week, well, Patreon, I'm going to talk about Patreon next. I'm going to talk about Patreon. I want to first go into some news, and then I don't want to bore everybody with all the formalities. Gotcha. So let's go into news. All good, man. All good. Taib wrote that. Taib said the guy on the right is really cool. That's my guy. He's one of my little Jedi, one of my little Padawans. Him and my son, I train. They do speed and agility. So that's Taib. It's past your bedtime, man. You need to go to bed. You got school tomorrow. All right. News. Raheem Mostert out for the season. He has season-ending knee surgery as per his Twitter. So I think just yesterday was 8 games, and now poof, he's done. It's really sad to see because he seems to be snake-bitten by the injury bug. I guess a bug wouldn't snake bite you. So how would we term that? Bug-bitten? He's bug-bitten. I think Raheem Mostert is bug-bitten. So Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon, there's definitely going to be some questions there. Jermichael Hasty, Jeffrey Wilson. So I don't know necessarily if I feel completely comfortable, but how do you feel about the Raheem Mostert?
Well, I'm really kind of debating on whether or not I want to spend all of my fab money on Elijah Mitchell or not, because that's that league where I'm desperate for running back because I lost JK and ETN. As a team, as far as the team set goes, I don't think this affects them nearly as much as it would if it were a more important position. They are really deep at the running back position, and any running back can be successful in that offense. It's just a matter of which one it's going to be. So for fantasy purposes, I'm scared, but as far as actual NFL news goes, you knew it was going to happen with Raheem Mostert. It was just a matter of time. Yeah, he was bitten by the bug. This time it just happened to be a pretty big bug.
Yeah, man, for sure. I have Elijah Mitchell actually in like 3 or 4 of my dynasty leagues, and I'm in 6. I have him in one. I think I have him in both of my redraft leagues. So I'm feeling pretty good. I was on Luigi. I was about to call him Luigi. I was on Elijah Mitchell because he played at Louisiana. He was a raging Cajun, and I liked him coming out. And I got him late. He was basically free rookie draft. So, you know, he's definitely a guy. I would, if you need it, yeah, I'd spend the money because the gamble could pay off.
Devin Singletary or Eliza Mitchell? Because the dude that had Singletary dropped him literally like minutes before the Zach Moss news popped up.
Man, I don't know.
Either way, I'm spending because I hate fab. I hate every single week in and week out, trying to debate and decide how much I'm spending. I'm spending all of my money on one of those two guys.
Mitchell. It's Mitchell. Because I think the ceiling's higher. I think maybe the floor is higher with Singletary because we know it's just him or Moss. And with Mitchell, you know, there's probably 3 or 4 guys it could be. But I think the ceiling's higher with Mitchell. So I'm going for the fences.
I did hear rumors, too. I'm just, you know what? Since we mentioned Moss, let's just jump right into that one. Okay. We talked about what's up with Moss. I did hear a lot of rumors today floating around Twitter. It's Twitter, who knows? But it was that Zach Moss actually missed curfew, and that was the real reason why he was a healthy scratch right before the game. So yeah. If that's the case, that does kind of eat back into Singletary. So
how about the Bills, man? The Bills should have beat the Steelers. They had them in the first half, and they took their foot off the gas. I'm very disappointed with how they played in the second half.
I went back and watched that game again last night. Wait, no, this is Tuesday. This morning when I woke up. And
big difference.
You know what would have made a big difference in that game? Having a blocking running back, a guy like Zach Moss that could actually pick up the blitz because they were making Allen work. Having that extra protection with that running back spot, that was a bad move for him to be a healthy scratch. But if it's because of disciplinary reasons, that's on him.
Yeah. No, for sure, for sure. All right, so another guy, Rashad Penny, another running back. He re-aggravated a calf injury. He's going to be out for a few weeks. So I definitely think that's an uptick to DJ Dallas. I think he is the back to own behind Chris Carson. And we know how Chris Carson plays. He's balls to the wall. The dude is super aggressive. And I love the way he plays. I love his running style. But it also means he could have a week here where he's going to miss it, or 2 weeks here, or 3 weeks there. So you definitely want to handcuff him. And I think DJ Dallas is the guy to own behind Chris Carson right now. Do you have any thoughts on that, Justin?
Only one thing to add, if you listen to the Waiver Wire episode that all of our Patreons are able to hear, I had down here, because you mentioned DJ Dallas for that episode, but I also put in a comment here coming up. They have the Titans, the Vikings, the 49ers, the Rams, the Steelers, and the Saints are their next six games. All very formidable, if not really good defenses, even though the Titans didn't really show it week one. I'm sure they're a lot better than what they showed. So if you look at it that way, Chris Carson trying to run through that gauntlet 6 weeks in a row and taking a huge workload, it's going to take a toll on a guy like Chris Carson. So having that backup is actually a pretty good insurance policy.
Man, I owe a big apology to Houdat Nation, the Saints. You know, I could be – I mean, it's just week one. So week one is always crazy. So we're not going to know who these teams are for 3 or 4 weeks. So maybe I was right, because I thought the Saints were going to be picking top 10 this year. And they just kicked the Packers' butts. Like, they handed it to them bad. And if they continue to roll like that, man, they're dangerous. They are dangerous. And if that's the way they look, I'm sorry. It's still possible I was right. But right now, I look very, very wrong. Rich said, don't get fantasy points for blitzes. He does. Speaking of Rich, my son is now Rich's good luck charm. My son, Emmett, I told him the Raiders were playing. And Emmett's like, I want to call Rich and wish him good luck.
So cool.
I called Rich yesterday, wished him good luck before the game. And now Rich is going to have to start sending me some money so I can make sure Emmett keeps calling him every week so the good luck can keep going.
Hey, Emmett, man, I could have used a phone call from you in the third quarter of that Colts game.
Man, all right, I'll set it up next week. I'll start sending out motivational.
They're playing the Rams. I might need that phone call before the game.
Yes. That's what he did with Rich. It was right before the game, so. Gotcha. But all right, Ryan Fitzpatrick to the IR. He has a hip injury, so it's Taylor Heinicke. I really thought that Cam Newton would be on his way to Washington ASAP. You know, I'm kind of shocked he's not. You know, that makes me think, you know, maybe there's a little something between him and Ron Rivera. Yeah. But I Heinicke looked good in the playoffs. I'm just not buying, especially, I think they'll give it a week or two, but there's got to be a different answer. And who knows how long Fitzpatrick is out. And also, did you hear someone – I don't know if this is baloney, because this is also another thing that was on the internet. Someone said that Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip at a water park, like, prior to the game, and then re-aggravated it. Like, telling you, maybe this is baloney, all right? No. But someone
said – that was one of the games I rewatched last night after the Monday Night Football game, after I did the waiver wire show. Okay. And he was moving around way too good for that to be the case. And if you watch the way he fell, the way his lower body, his knee hit right on the ground, and you could see his whole midsection just kind of pop up as his upper body was still going down. Like, it was a legit hit on that knee that ruined that hip. There's no way he injured it at some water park. And if he did it, that definitely wasn't what caused that. There's no way.
Well, I mean, I heard it through the grapevine. Okay. Yeah. The grapevine, maybe it's wrong, but
I wish we had copyrights to that song.
I saw it somewhere and I felt like it was essential news.
Yeah.
It might be fake news, but
I wish we had copyrights to that song. I heard it through the grapevine. That would have been perfect.
Oh, which one? Creedence or Marvin Gaye?
I don't know. The one that they used to play on the little cartoon with the little.
Oh, that's the Raisins, the California Raisins.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye's a bad man. All right, let's keep it moving. Mekhi Becton out 4 to 6 weeks. That's definitely going to hurt Zach Wilson and his development. Honestly, you know, I wasn't upset with Zach Wilson last week, because from what I saw from that Jets game, he was getting it done. It looked like his teammates weren't getting it done. Like, it didn't look like he was the odd man out, not making plays. Like, he threw a few pretty balls. He was rolling around. There was a lot of pressure on him. He looked ready. He looked like he belonged here. So I'm confident in Zach Wilson after that game. But it's definitely going to hurt him having, you know, his top offensive lineman out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have nearly as much confidence as you. You've been talking Zach Wilson up all offseason, but for me personally, I needed to see something, and I saw enough. I saw enough that if I own him, I'm not concerned. If I don't own him, maybe I might look into it later, maybe next season, whatever. But yeah, I'm definitely interested to see how well that entire offense, just like I've been saying. They're going to grow. It's going to be a fun transition. It's one of those rebuilds that we're going to be able to watch unfold before our eyes live week in, week out, all season long.
Yeah, Joe here says Elijah Moore could have had a big game if he held onto the ball. Yeah, for sure. So that's what we saw. Like, Zach Wilson was extending plays and on the move with NFL pressure in front of him. he was still able to get those balls downfield into his receiver's hands, and they just weren't making plays for him. So that was the big concern. Like, when he's got guys who can run 4-5, you know, but are also 260 pounds chasing him down, can he still have the poise to get out of the pocket, look upfield, and make those throws? And he did.
Right. And you know who did show up, but the guy that does not stink, Corey Davis.
Corey Davis.
The other CD.
Right. Well, he was CD before CD. Like, CD is actually CD. This guy's nickname is CD. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little different. But all right, hey, everybody, we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/toiletsandtitles. Right now we're doing a giveaway. I got a LaVisca Chenault official NFL jersey, black, extra large, never been worn. We are giving it away to one of the next 10 people to sign up for our Patreon. We've had 4 sign up this week, so we got 6 more spots. Here's how you can sign up. All right, well, again, go to patreon.com/toiletsandtitles. Tier 1 is only $3 a month. Get you into our group chat on Discord. That thing is going all day. We got people all over the globe in there. So everyone from Toilets to Titles, all 13 of us are in there. And then, you know, the few Patreon members are in there. So any questions you have, or you say you made a trade, you want our input on it, whatever, all of that goes in the group chat, $3 a month. Tier 2, $5 a month, gets you into that chat, gets you early access to the Waiver Wire episode that Justin releases Monday night, right after Monday Night Football. This Waiver Wire episode, everybody from Toilets to Titles is throwing a name or two on a doc, explaining why you should be picking this person up. A lot of details in there. We're going to release it today so that everyone can listen to it, so you know why this is valuable, so we can draw you again to our Patreon. And then it gets you into Frankenstack next year. Tier 3, excuse me, it's $10 a month. Gets you all of that, and it also gets you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody at the Toilets and Titles family. Again, so this supports us. We're trying to make it a way where it's also going to help you. So it helps us, supports the show, but also there's ways that this can actually, you know, benefit you. We are at your service 24/7. And also, if you sign up soon, you might be able to win a LaVisca Chenault jersey. So you, that's like, what, $110? You know, if you sign up for tier 1, $3, you get one-on-one analysis and you get this jersey. You cannot beat that. All right, let's get into games of the week, Justin. We already went over our last week's results. I picked Chargers versus Washington football team. You picked Jets at Carolina. Nate picked Cleveland at Kansas City. So, Justin, what is your game of the week, and why is it your game of the week?
So, this week, because Nate stole – because I told you guys that I promised I didn't care about the points thing. I just wanted to pick the game of the week that I really wanted to watch. I still would have been excited about the Rams and Colts, even though I honestly hate to admit it, but I think the Colts are going to get whipped up pretty good this year. And after what I saw this past Sunday, I have a good, strong feeling that the Rams are probably going to dominate a lot this season. I'm starting to lean towards them as my favorite for the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact.
Week one. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Because I already had a hunch, and of all the different things that I kind of felt probably could happen this season, that was one of the few damn things I got right this week. So cool. I'm probably going to roll with that. But that was Nate's game of the week. So since he's not on, I felt like I should probably at least bring it up, talk about it a little bit. But no, my game of the week is the next game that I'm excited to watch, and that's the 49ers at the Eagles. The reason I'm excited to watch this game has everything to do with fantasy football. What's going to happen with that wide receiving core with San Francisco, with Debo? There's no way Debo's going to continue to be that guy. You know, what's up with Ayuk? What happened to him? Where did he go? I'm hearing rumors that that he was still nursing. Yeah, he was still nursing a hamstring injury at a water park with Fitzpatrick. And then Eagles, was that a mirage? Are the Falcons really that bad?
Yes.
Or maybe the Eagles a little bit better than we expected. I think it's one of those things where there were so many narratives that played out in week one that potentially could not maybe be year-long narratives. But after week two, we might start to get more of a mold of how these teams and these fantasy points are going to shape out for us.
I think, you know, the Falcons are very bad, but I also think the Eagles are better than we expected. I actually just made a trade with Rich in a Superflex league. I have Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin. I'm pretty poor at wide receiver. I got Nick Chubb. I have Cam Akers. He went down. So, like, did pretty bad last year. But I had Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. So I'm okay. but I got a lot of quarterbacks. I need another stud. And Rich had Chris Godwin. I traded him Jalen Hurts and Henry Ruggs for Godwin. It's super flex. So usually quarterbacks are more valuable than wide receivers. But, A, no one was responding to me. This was probably the best offer I could have got. But also, I think Jalen Hurts is okay. But I don't think he's as good as he looked. So I think this week that trade might look like it's going to be a little better for Rich. And, again, it's okay. I have the quarterback depth. And if no one was going to do it, you know, I need a stud. So I was willing to overpay in a sense, but I also feel like Jalen Hurts is going to come back down to earth a little bit versus San Francisco, but hopefully it helps me and Rich. Rich is my boy. But
well, yeah, with the way you set it up and described it, I think it sounds like a pretty good deal for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're good. Cause I think his quarterback two was a little iffy. So it made it easy for us to do that. But anyway, my game of the week is the Cowboys at the LA Chargers. So, you know, not to be a homer, you know, I don't always pick the Cowboys. Clearly, you're going to notice I don't do that. But this week, I'm very excited because the way they looked last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they looked great. The offense was moving. I'm excited to see if they can build off that. If they continue to build off of that, this is a different team than the one we had last year. This is a different team than we had in the Jason Garrett era. But if we change the look of our team and we kind of fall back a little bit, it's same old Dallas Cowboys. So I'm looking forward to see the Dallas Cowboys continue building off of what they did last week. And I'm also looking forward to watching this phenomenal young, you know, it's hard to say with Keenan Allen, he's not extremely young, but with Herbert and Eckler, you know, Larry Roundtree looked good. You know, I'm just excited to watch Herbert versus Dak. I think this game's going to be great. There's a lot of good defensive players, Derwin James, Kenneth Murray. We got Micah Parsons, Joey Bosa. There's a lot of studs in this game, and it's going to be very fun to watch. And that's a beautiful stadium, so it's easy watching a game in that beautiful background setting. So, Justin, are you looking forward to that Chargers-Cowboys game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anytime Justin Herbert's on the field, I'm excited. And anytime that high-powered Cowboys offense is on the field, I'm going to be excited. I've got a lot of fantasy points riding whenever both of those offenses are on the field. So yeah. If you look at it that way, one of them are going to be on the field the whole game. So,
well, we'll talk about the fantasy points because we're going to go to dudes and duds right now. All right. So dudes and duds, my weekly starts and sits. We're going back to that Indianapolis LA Rams game. My first dude of the week is Matthew Stafford. Stafford looked great against Chicago last week, and he will have a matchup against a Colts team that allowed Russell Wilson to throw for 4 touchdowns. So I think, you know, he's ready to go. He's probably looking at that. He's licking his chops. So is Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods wasn't very involved last week. It was Kupp, Van Jefferson, a little bit of Higby. So I expect him also to get Woods involved. So he might spread it out a little more, but it's going to be a lot of yards in the air for the LA Rams and Matthew Stafford. My next dude of the week is Aaron Rodgers versus Detroit. As much as I love to see Aaron Rodgers down in the dumps, I'm just not buying that he's against the familiar foe. He's against the Detroit Lions. He knows the Detroit Lions. He's beat the Detroit Lions so many times. He's ready to roll, you know. So I think on Monday night against a Detroit team that allowed Jimmy Garoppolo to throw for 314 yards, like Jimmy Garoppolo's okay. He threw for 314 yards against the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers is going to go off. So if you're in a league and you need a quarterback, you go buy Aaron Rodgers and you start him because I just can't imagine this guy's going to be down for all that long. And now he's got all the odds against him. If he does, you know, great. I'm okay with that as well, but I'm just not buying it. He's not done. All right. Running back Antonio Gibson versus the New York Giants. Antonio Gibson averaged over 4.5 yards per carry last week against the solid Los Angeles Chargers defense. This week he faces the New York Giants, who just let Melvin Gordon run for 100 yards on 11 carries. Melvin Gordon, I don't know if he's ever done that in his career outside of college, like in the NFL. So that was almost 10 yards a carry. With Fitz hurt, I expect the Washington football team to lean heavily on Antonio Gibson. They don't have the time to get Heinicke ready to go. It's a Thursday night game, so I really think they're going to lean on Antonio Gibson to start him up. The next guy, Ezekiel Elliott at the Los Angeles Chargers in week one. Dak in the air attack was heavily featured. I think Dallas will make it a point to showcase Ezekiel Elliott and make future opposing defensive coordinators have to consider stopping him when creating their defensive game plans, right? It's going to make them a little more dynamic. Also, Dak has threw the ball a lot. He had that shoulder thing going on. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas tries to limit his throws this week just to play it safe. So, I mean, he threw the ball like somewhere between 40 and 50 times last week. I wouldn't be surprised if he's somewhere down around 30. So expect Ezekiel Elliott to eat, feed Zeke. Next, Cooper Kupp. I'm stacking him on my dudes with Matthew Stafford at Indianapolis. Kupp looked phenomenal in week one, and I believe he will continue to roll in week two. We know Stafford is going to go chuck, so insert Kupp into all your lineups and prosper. Kupp looked great. He fit in well with Matthew Stafford. Next, Keenan Allen versus Dallas. So this is the second guy in the Chargers-Cowboys game. Continuing theme this season will be that Dallas secondary struggles to contain elite route runners. Last week, I said that Mike Evans was on my duds list. Antonio Brown was on my dudes list because I thought that Dallas matched up well with Mike Evans, and I thought Antonio Brown would eat, and I'm correct. The guy that they don't match up well with is Keenan Allen. He's very technically savvy. Elite route runners give their corners fits, and I expect that to happen. He's exactly that. This will be a high-scoring game, and the Chargers will need to throw to keep up with the potent Dallas offense. So Keenan Allen may put up his biggest stat line of the season. All right, this week. You know what? I'm going to say it with my chest. Keenan Allen will put up his biggest stat line of the season in week two versus the Dallas Cowboys. Mark that down. Finally, Dallas Goedert versus San Francisco. Last week, I said to sit Hockenson. I had him on my duds, and I won't make that mistake again. All right, Dallas Goedert will face a San Francisco secondary that allowed Hockenson to gain 97 yards and 8 receptions. The Eagles have more dangerous weapons on the outside than the Lions do, and the 49ers will have a tough time trying to stop Dallas Goedert. And Rich said, beautiful stack. Thank you, Rich. The Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford. It is a beautiful stack. All right, finally, duds. Rich isn't going to like to hear this. My first dud of the week is Jalen Hurts versus San Francisco. I know Hurts played well in week one, but the Atlanta Falcons stink. 49ers do not. The 49ers defense played very well up until garbage time last week. Jalen Hurts will be facing that defense who was just embarrassed. They were embarrassed, San Francisco. Like, they won, but I definitely feel like they have some egg on their face. They're feeling a little embarrassed. They're going to come out ready to roll, and I think he's going to be getting their best effort. So it's going to be a long day for Hurts. Matt Ryan at Tampa Bay is a dud. Outside of the first drive, the Atlanta Falcons offense just looked terrible. Don't be fooled by Tampa Bay's defense allowing all the fantasy points last week to Dak and co. That defense is still legit. I'm avoiding Matt Ryan at all costs. Saquon Barkley at the Washington football team on Thursday night. Saquon was not fully unleashed in week one. And with only a four-day turnaround this week, I do not believe they will unleash him in week two. Washington football team is a tough matchup in general. Saquon will get limited touches and his ceiling is low. James Robinson versus Denver. Urban Meyer chose to give Carlos Hyde 4 more carries than James Robinson week one against the lowly Houston Texans. This week, the Jags will face a Denver defense that only allowed 33 yards for the Giants backfield in week one. It's a tough matchup, and I don't trust Meyer to feed him. Corey Davis versus New England. Sorry, Corey Davis truthers, but after watching the Jets in week one, Bill will realize that Corey Davis is Zach Wilson's favorite target. What does Bill do best? He eliminates a quarterback's favorite target, right? He makes young quarterbacks uncomfortable. He will eliminate CD and force Zach Wilson to beat him elsewhere. Another dud, the 49ers wide receivers at Philadelphia. The Eagles held Matt Ryan to 164 passing yards in week one. Jimmy Garoppolo will have a tough time this week consistently completing passes, and I think the 49ers wide receivers will suffer, and I don't know who to start. I don't know which of them is the guy, so I'm not starting him, all right? Finally, Patriots tight ends at the New York Jets. The Patriots tight ends pretty much split up the work in week one, and I do not think their ceiling is there for either Johnny or Henry. If I have any other decent option at tight end, I'm playing him over either of those two. So that's my dudes and duds. You'll be able to find that in article form over at toiletstitles.com tomorrow morning, Wednesday at 8 a.m. So, Justin, I'm going to pass it over to you for your turtle heads, the players that are about to break up.
Oh, real quick, we have a question in the chat here, a YouTube question. So,
That's Calvin Joseph. That's Calvin Joseph's rap name, the corner for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
For real.
All right, cool. So maybe this is actually him. So if this is actually him, then we should probably lead off with you to answer this since you're the Cowboys fan. But
I
also
trade Montgomery for Najee. You know, not maybe in Dynasty I'd consider it, but not in redraft. Did you see how good David Montgomery looked this week? So David Montgomery, he's always been – his eyes have always been super quick. Like, he's been – his eyes get his body in position to make people miss. This past week, he looked quicker. He looks like he's gained a step. He's slimmed up. He looked super explosive. An explosion is something that lacked from his game. All right? He always had vision. He always had awareness. He was always slippery. But he looked extra explosive. I believe David Montgomery is taking the step that Le'Veon Bell took early in his career. Le'Veon Bell came into the league out of Michigan State, and he was a plotter. He was a between-the-tackles runner. He was very tough. He was agile, but he was tough, and he was big. He lost some weight, and then he was a completely different cat in Pittsburgh. I'm seeing the same thing from David Montgomery. I'm not letting him go. I'm not. All right. And we also know that they're going to want to run the ball. And then especially if they do go to Justin Fields, they're still going to want to run the ball to protect Monty. It's going to be Monty, play action fake, you know, then help Justin Fields. What's it going to be in Pittsburgh? Throw, throw, throw. So I'm not doing it, boss man fat. And if you are Kelvin Joseph, I appreciate you coming in and watching the show. Justin, what do you think?
I think we got a board bet coming because for me personally, I don't know that I would necessarily make the trade, but I think it's going to be close enough that I'm willing to at least make a board bet because you're so confident. And I don't really feel right. It feels odd that you and I don't really have a good David Montgomery bet on the board bet. So why not? Why not we make it happen? You beat me last year with the David Montgomery versus Miles Sanders board bet. You have me convinced with David Montgomery finally. And honestly, it was seeing what he did against the Rams defense that I still think is a really good, tough defense.
Good defense.
Yeah. Even after seeing what David Montgomery did to them,
Don't do it. Don't throw it on the board.
So I think that it's no. I think a lot of it might maybe be like week one. Like let's see what happens week two to see if this is legit or not. It's enough because I love the running game in Pittsburgh, and historically speaking, I think you're right. They're going to throw the ball a lot. All that makes a lot of perfectly good sense. But who are they going to run the ball with in Pittsburgh? It's going to be Harris. So and honestly, Damian Williams did get a lot of carries still too, even though they were behind. Negative game script. They still gave Damian Williams a decent amount of opportunity. So I think he's going to cut more into Montgomery than anybody else will cut into Harris. So I think it could end up being pretty even at the end. So I would go with John's confidence here and not make the trade, but I do want to put this board bet on the board. So
Rich is with you, man. Rich is saying Najee all day as well. Again, dynasty is a different thing. And redraft, like to me, it's hands down David Montgomery. Hands down.
Yeah, we're on agreement there. If you are talking dynasty, then definitely go with Najee.
It's close for me in dynasty, but in redraft, it's easy. It's David Montgomery. All right, so the players that are going to break out this week, Justin, who are they?
So I need to. my turtle heads. So I have. I've got a few turtle heads that I really wanted to break out there, but one of them doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he's a 31-year-old running back. Like, what are the odds that he's just going to break out now? But I really do like that opportunity for Latavius Murray. And if you pay attention to the end of that game, which we're going to talk about with the slow your rolls here in a little bit with Taysom Williams, he let that guy in the backfield caused that fumble on Lamar at the end of the game that cost them the game. And even leading up to that, as the game progressed, we saw a little bit less of Taysom Williams and a little bit more of Latavius Murray. So I really think that this is going to be Latavius Murray's backfield, probably even as soon as week two. So I almost put him on there, 31-year-old running back. I don't know. Kenneth Gainwell is another guy that I almost threw on there, but I believe that there's going to be enough of a split there. There's not going to be enough.
I think I did a bathroom board bet that Kenneth Gainwell is going to outscore Miles Sanders this year.
Yeah. And I could see that happening. I really can. Like,
I think I was just kind of being on brand with that.
But
that looks like it's going to happen.
Maybe you were being a little facetious when you made the bet, but after seeing week one, that might work out for you. So I went with a guy I don't believe is necessarily going to be a superstar by any means. I don't think that this guy is going to be the next Randy Moss or anything. So when I say breakout, I want you to understand I'm talking about the fact that you could get him for free now, and he has the potential to be a solid flex start for you on an almost week-to-week basis, maybe even a wide receiver too whenever you need. And that's going to be Anthony Schwartz. I feel like 2, 3, 4 more games, and you're going to start seeing him in starting lineups on a regular basis. He only had 3 catches for 69 yards on 5 targets. He had a rush for 17 yards. Now, I totally get that they were looking to I totally get that OBJ wasn't there and that and also So they had a lead early, right? And so when they had the lead early, they were still trying to throw the ball around. They gave him that run to try to find a way to give him the ball. Like they're trying to find ways to get Anthony Schwartz involved. He's a speedster guy. So even when OBJ comes back, I'm really confident they're going to do all they can to feed him. He tied Landry for the most targets for wide receivers for Baker. So they're not going to just push this guy to the side just because OBJ comes back, because OBJ hasn't really shown a whole lot the last few years anyway. And then next week they've got Houston. There's a chance that OBJ still may not be playing, and you've got Houston on the docket for Anthony Schwartz. So he has real potential to break out next week as well.
I would put my honorable mention would be someone in Denver. I'm not going to name somebody specifically. With Jerry Jeudy down, either it's going to be Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, or Noah Fant. And Fant looked good last week. Fant, you know, put up a decent stat line. So I'm kind of leaning towards Noah Fant. I think he might actually break out and finally cement himself as one of the top tight ends in the league. But also look for Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick to both ascend as well and put up some decent stat lines this week. So one of those guys. Go ahead.
So today in practice, KJ Hamler took the first team reps.
Okay.
In place of
Jeudy. Guy. But I'm a little bit worried. You know, if Drew Lock was in, I'd be like, KJ Hamler to the moon, but I don't know. We'll see how he fits. You know, I could see KJ Hamler having like two or three receptions. And then, you know, if he connects on the big opportunity he gets, like a deep 30-yard post or whatever, it's a good stat line. But I don't know if I'd be confident that it's for sure going to happen. You know, they're definitely going to take a shot or two, you know.
And
go ahead.
And for what it's worth, the Broncos play Jacksonville and the Jets the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Oh, so that'll be exciting. The Jets, you know, we'll see what the Jets – maybe that'll turn into a high-flying vertical passing attack, you know, between the two teams. But let's see what that looks like. All right, I'm going to go up to Nate's lock for the week. So Nate's, you know, he does Dollars to Deuces every Wednesday night, I believe at 10 o'clock Eastern. All right, and that's the title's betting show, sports betting. They talk parlays, props, you know, all sorts of NFL – betting things. It's going to be on there, and he teases us with three locks of the week on this show to get you primed and ready to tune into Dollars to Deuces weekly. All right, his locks of the week this week, he's got the Washington football team -3 versus the New York Giants. Give me all that. I'm with you, Nate. He's got Seattle -5.5 versus Tennessee. This one's very juicy. This is going to be a great matchup. And finally, the Broncos -6 at Jacksonville. How did the Broncos lose to the Texans, man? It's embarrassing. Like the Texans are trying to lose. So those three, Washington football team -3 versus the Giants, Seattle -5.5 versus the Titans, and Broncos -6 at Jacksonville. All right, let's move on to slow your roll. So these are players we are not yet sold on. The funny thing is last week I said Trey Sermon. All right, and I think I was spot on. Everyone was selling Trey Sermon. I said, wait. You know, my reasoning was it's Raheem Mostert's offense. So I was right about the guy, but not right for the reason. But I did say Raheem Mostert is here for a good time and not a long time. I don't even think he had a good time. You know, I think, you know, it became a bad time really quickly. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, the guy that I'm telling you to slow your roll on right now is Elijah Mitchell. Even though I said earlier, I have a lot of Elijah Mitchell and I'm really hoping he continues to eat. I have him in about 60% of my rosters. I've been a fan since watching his film. It's not the player that concerns me, though. It's the coach. Let's see how he is deployed over the next 2 or 3 weeks before we go all in. I understand people like Justin don't have the time to do that. But what I mean is if you already have him on your roster, I wouldn't go crazy starting him over a guy. I don't know what other play. Like, all right, I'd have to see a list of players to consider. I'd start him over James Robinson, but am I starting him over Zeke? I don't think so. I'm still starting Zeke this week. You know what I mean?
Well, let's just use my team as an example in this situation. So let's say I do get him in off Fab waivers, then I have to choose to start him over. Do I have to start James Robinson? Do I start him over Saquon Barkley?
Yes.
Do I start him over Ty Johnson?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. That's
you understand what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, no, I give
not, I'm not 100% confident. I need about 2 or 3 weeks.
A team that's not as desperate as me, would you start him over James Robinson?
I don't know.
That one I think might be the line.
I have Robinson on my duds this week, right?
Right.
So it's tough. If I need a ceiling play, I'm going Mitchell. If I need a floor play, I'm Michael Robinson, because I'm just not sold. He could come out and do the damn thing, but I just don't believe in Shanahan. I don't know what Shanahan's going to do. Look what he just did to Ayuk, who everybody was on, and all of a sudden now he's zero receptions, zero targets. So, yeah, Rich agrees with Shep Stradamus. He said to stash him. All right, another player that I believe you should slow your roll on, Rich. Again, I'm sorry. It's Jalen Hurts. The Atlanta Falcons stink. Let's see how he looks against the 49ers this week. If he looks legit against the 49ers, I'm in. All right, I think Jalen Hurts is a dude. But right now, the Atlanta Falcons are terrible. 49ers are good. I'm waiting before I go all in on him. I want to see how he looks against the San Francisco 49ers. So, Justin, who are your slow your roll players for this week?
So I only had time to throw one down, and I already kind of talked about him. It was Tyson Williams, but I'm slowing my roll because of that missed block that cost them the game. I'm slowing my roll on him because Latavius Murray still looked good, and Murray is a good back. He's just always been behind somebody better, and I think right now is his opportunity to be not be the guy that's behind somebody better. So, and I believe the Ravens probably saw this as well. If you like, I can go ahead and read Nate's as well.
Well, first let's talk about Tyson Williams, because okay. I'm buying. I understand what you're saying, but his explosiveness on that touchdown run and then his contact balance, like when that guy hit him like 5 or 10 yards from the end zone and he kind of just kept his balance, I liked what I saw. I think there's a spot for him and Murray, So maybe slow your roll as in – he's not going to be an RB1, but I do like the potential for him to be a flex weekly, because he got through that hole like a bat out of hell. Like he's got bursts that I don't really know if there's anybody else on the offense besides Lamar Jackson that has that
right
on that Ravens offense,
But when you picked him up, you expected Tyson Williams to be the only guy and be the guy and be the running back. So now that he has a Latavius Murray problem, it's probably a lot less likely that he's going to have that full of a load. He's, like you said, more of a flex play, maybe a low-end RB2 any given week.
Right, because he's going to have weeks where he just – because when you're running RPOs and you have Lamar Jackson freezing linebackers, a guy who's got speed like him, all it takes is a little crease for him to get to the third level. And at that point, it's all about angles. Does the safety have a good angle? Does the corner have a good angle? If not, he's gone. So he's going to have big weeks. He'll probably also have some disappointing weeks. So I'm feeling you for that one. All right, so what is Nate's slow your roll player?
Nate is slowing his roll on the Saints offense. So
he's just throwing shots at the Saints because they just kicked his Packers butt.
That's right. And so I was going to try to do a Nate impression, but I don't think I could pull it off. But
have to use like a phrase, something goofy.
I know, phrase. But I'm not as witty as him. He's a smart guy. No. But like he likes to make up random names for different guys. So,
Crab McGee. You could call Jameis Crab McGee. That's something.
Yeah. Or he's got Kevin King. He'd call him like Kevin Royalty or something.
Yeah. Royal Kevin. No, he'd call him Royal Kevin.
Royal Kevin. Is that what he calls him?
No, but that's probably what he would call him.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. So he's saying that he's not just saying that because he's licking his wounds from the Packers getting their asses.
Oh, he knew that's what we were going to say. So well, he put that in there.
Oh, he knew. He was ready. The defense was terrible, and they had zero pressure in scheme, and the scheme was a joke. Royal King. Kevin King's wait. King, yeah, never mind. Kevin King. See, I can't do it. Kevin King stinks because that's his phrase. He loves to say that people stink. And the line got pushed all over. The Panthers defense had 6 sacks last week against the Jets. The Saints aren't the Jets, but the defense is stout. So he's slowing his roll on the Saints offense. And there's a lot to be said with that. I mean, Jameis did only have I believe it was 14 completions. But 5 of them were for touchdowns. Like, obviously, there's no way that's going to hold up. He's either going to have to throw the ball more, or you're going to see that negative regression from the Saints. So, so it is something that you definitely want to look out for sure. That was a smart call there.
All right. So the last segment of the evening is the one that we do weekly. It's called At This Time Next Week. Excuse me. We will be saying. Now, I said last week that at this time next week, which is now, we'd be saying that Antonio Brown is the wide receiver one in Tampa. Think I got pretty close there because he lit it up. Godwin had a great night, but he's definitely ascended at this point, Mike Evans, and we'll see how he looks this week. So what my at this time next week will be saying for this week is the Falcons will be picking early in the 2022 NFL draft and will be foolish to pass on quarterback again. So I'm saying like top three. Falcons are up there with the Jaguars and the Texans. They've passed the Jets. The Jets now, I think, are going this way. Falcons are going that way. So that's my at this time next week. Justin, at this time next week, we will be saying?
We will be saying that the Ravens are already toast. So I didn't really like what I saw last night. And it's the Raiders. And, I mean, yeah, they were up, and then they lost the lead, and it fluke plays. But you can't let David Carr – or Derek Carr, sorry. You can't let Derek Carr do what Derek Carr did so many times last night to win that game. There's no way they should even have been in that game. So the Ravens secondary is absolutely depleted with a ton of injuries. We already know about their running attack, which I think is easier to mend and make up for. But I'm just not sold on the Ravens this year. It isn't the year for them. And then the other one that I have down on here is that this time next week we're going to be saying that Justin has been right about CEH. He isn't anything outstanding. He's nothing amazing. He's barely anything outside of an RB2 for fantasy football.
So go sell your CEH because Justin says he stinks. He's going to be on Friday night. This guy stinks. Told us the titles. Friday night. It's 9 p.m. All right. Nate, at this time next week, we'll be saying is, I told you the Saints are who we thought they were. So that's what I will be saying next week. All right. So that wraps it for week two episode of Toilets and Titles. Before we conclude the show, I do want to let everybody know again to subscribe to our YouTube channel. All right. Oh, so Rich is chiming in. I'm done watching this show. Show the Raiders Nation some respect. Sorry, Rich. I knew that one was going to sting a little bit. Well, they won, man. You don't even – can't tell me nothing. That's what I'd be saying if I was you. The Raiders won. Me, yeah, that's my right. Team lost. Justin's team lost. Nate's team lost. Your team won, man. So don't – nothing should be phasing you right now. But listen, what I want to tell everybody, subscribe to our YouTube channel and tune in. All right, Tuesdays, 9 p.m., Toilets and Titles every week. Wednesdays, 9 p.m., Joe knows he's going to be recapping the previous week's football action NFL. Wednesday night, 10 p.m., we have Dollars to Deuces. That's going to be Rich, and that's going to be Nate. It's our betting show again. Props, parlays, point spreads, over-unders, all that stuff. They will be talking about that. Thursday night at 7:45 up until the Thursday night kickoff, a dash of DFS. That's me, Dirty Jobs, and our friend Joe Arachi. We're going to be talking all things DFS, getting you ready to set your lineups up. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. is Down Under Dynasty. They're talking all things Dynasty Fantasy Football. That's Matt. That's Ben. And then Sundays at 8 a.m., we got Sunday Cup of Joe, where Joe recaps the Saturday and Friday college football action. And then he previews the NFL slate. And that brings you right into the Blitz, which is Sunday, 10 a.m., which Mike D., Dirty Jobs, Justin's on there. Alex is on there. It's a live call-in show talking all start sits and injury updates. They're taking all that stuff live. Again, if you're subscribed to the show, you can comment on all of these episodes, but the Blitz is 100% there for you. They're taking all show. It's stardom, sit-em questions, start sit, injuries, weather forecast, all that stuff that's going to be going right up to the game to help you be in the best position you can be in to set those lineups. And if you want to support the show, if you want a chance to win a LaVisca Chenault jersey, got our Patreon waiver wire episodes. If you want to get into our 24/7 group Discord chat, go to patreon.com/toiletstitles. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate if you threw us a 5-star review. So Justin, do you have anything to leave the people with?
Yeah, we had at least two that I counted Patreon subscribers that were in here in the chat tonight. And I'm assuming one of them is still there because she just posted a few minutes ago. And I know Uncle C is going to watch this show later. So just again, we appreciate you guys. Like, you have no idea. I checked the Patreon account earlier today, and I feel like it's going to really help us because we've got some big things in store. We've got some big plans for you guys. We're not going to leave you hanging. We're not just going to make all these promises and then just take your money and run away. I can promise you, you're going to get something for your money. We're going to give you some material, some content. We are going to do the best we can to try to help you win some football games, some fantasy games. But at the end of the day, even if we don't, we're going to have a hell of a good time trying. And we love the interaction and the bonds and the relationships that we've put together through all this. So thanks to the Patreons. Appreciate you guys.
All right, everybody. Hopefully you did okay in week one. Regardless, do not panic. Always have a plan. Always be building. Always be working on trying to get that next W because you're only as good as your next rep. You're only as good as your next game. So forget last week. Go out there, make some power moves so you can go out there and win week two. All right, we will catch you all later on. I will be seeing you Thursday. Justin will be seeing you Sunday. Catch you all later. Take care. Have a good night.